Welcome to another edition of the Play and Art Podcast. We're really excited to be around the Red Kitchen table having our tea. And I know yesterday was the last the day of the semester for us, and sending our student teachers off into the world with hopefully great things ready to go into the classrooms. And you had your meeting with your student teachers last night. How did that go?
Well, I practice what I preach in terms of listening to their experiences more than trying to direct it in different directions. You know, what do they remember? What were the highlights? What were the funny parts? What were the interesting parts? You know, what did they take away? I mean, I set out in the beginning to learn from the student teachers, not to go ahead and have another class of instruction from Sakelli. So in that regard, I thought it was successful, but it was also monumental because I was disconnected. It was a Zoom meeting during COVID now, and I was physically disconnected by one of my colleagues. I don't know which one yet, but
muted
by my colleagues, and really well, physically disconnected with picture and sound.
Oh wow!
I was thrown off the site.
Wow, that's a good sign. good for you.
I do believe that in some ways art teaching is learning to fit into a group. The society of teachers and students, but as an artist, I also believe that it is a state of constant battle. It is one of rebellion,
yes,
of one of questioning and not accepting. Each art teacher really making their own journey of it is an art. Art teaching is an art.
Yeah, and we're so different, I think, than those in education, those around us. And once we assimilate, it becomes a problem. And I think student teaching is one of those interesting times because you feel this need to assimilate to a certain extent because you're working with somebody else and you want to do right by them, right? I always say it's like a marriage in some ways when you're in a room with somebody else, right? And you're trying to please them in some ways. Right, to make sure that they both of you have a good experience and you're sharing their space, which is difficult, but you're also trying to be yourself and learn, you know, try things out for the first time, and all there's a lot going on to that student teaching experience. And you know, it could be a great marriage in that, you know, the teacher allows you to come up with lessons and experiment and try new things, right? And if you fall a little bit, they kind of support you. But it also could be a really difficult relationship as well. So it's interesting that
you're
time.
Really pleasing or trying to determining your status in that class. You're pleasing not only your teacher who you work with every day. And it's not a natural relationship.
No, not at all.
Two art teachers in a room, yeah. You know. But you also have this supervisor, this college person who...
Correct.
Nobody really figured out, you know, where that fits or how that fits, you know. And when do you get a threesome that really works?
Yes.
In other words, that the college teacher really appreciates the classroom teachers the way they work. And the student teacher, or there are all kinds of jealousies. There are all kinds of different styles colliding.
Yeah, I find it to be really difficult. Honestly, I've been doing this for years now, where I'm going in and working with you know, student teachers in the classroom, and I find it so difficult because there's only so much I can say comfortably. So much of it in my mind is kind of criticizing the teacher that is there, which, you know, you can't do, but you have to do to some extent, to really start by asking the student, which is something, you know, okay, how are things going is generally my first question. So listening to them again, but then also saying, okay, there's things that, you know, you're going to see that are great and there are things that aren't great. And what are, you know, what are some of both of those? And it's okay to learn also from the not great things. And we're learning on both angles, but to kind of decide for yourself who you are in this, right? And this is only a short time in your teaching career, a very short time, because they even go to 2 placements, so it's half the time in each placement. But what are you going to, you know, what are you going to take from this, good and bad? And I think that it's important to kind of reflect on both. But it's very hard to go into that space and to feel comfortable. And it's hard for the student, too, and I think that's important to understand, that it's hard for everyone in that relationship to kind of be on the same page with things. And I find that, I mean, I probably have hundreds of stories we could go into of good and bad things that have happened in those moments.
Yeah, I also find student teaching, being a college supervisor,
yes,
this whole idea of supervisor is a questionable role. But I spend the college years with my students teaching them to be independent.
Yeah.
Trying to have them really tell me and figure out, you know, what art teaching is about, what kind of art teacher will they be comfortable and sustainable for a long time, what enjoyable for them to be, to find themselves as art teachers.
Yes.
And then what do? The first experience, and we build up to this culmination, this grand experience, 12 credits. You know,
right.
I only get 3. 12 credits at the end of the experience, and we throw them into the most dependent situation.
Yes.
The most supervised situation, the most graded situation, with charts and observation methods that college supervisors learn, and the tension in the room is
yes,
you know, very high. So it's a lesson to please not only the artist, the teacher,
mm-hmm,
the artist, the children, but to please these 2 people in the room, these 2 adults in the room.
Yeah. My favorite is when my student teachers tell me beforehand, well, you know, you shouldn't come in that day because I know you're going to hate this lesson, or, you know, the teacher's doing something which I know you're not going to approve of. So, you know, don't come in that day. I don't know what to do. There's a lot of, like, jockeying in some ways because the student's kind of caught in the middle of this. You know, these are the lessons that are happening, and I don't, you know, I know you won't approve of them. I don't love them. There's not much I can do. They're happening. So, you know, almost an embarrassment of what's about to go on. It's really difficult.
And how many times do we really see students actually reverting or going backwards when you feel they're doing groundbreaking lessons, world-changing lessons, incredibly original lessons, and then you have the student teaching experience when they revert to, let's say, the typical school art, the ongoing, which never-ending,
yes,
school art, you know,
mm-hmm,
and we can all name what those lessons are.
Yes.
So where did you get this potato printing lesson, you know, when you had this incredible view of what printing could be, and you exposed the kids to this world of printing through all kinds of, you know, walking with your shoes on the paper, the testing out your Hot Wheel cars, and all of a sudden it becomes a school lesson, you know, it's lots of steps backwards.
Yes.
And then you ask yourself as a college supervisor, you know, are they going to just meld in, fit in, become another art teacher? or will there be the artist in the school? And I'm teaching them in my, my intention is always to, and emphasis is always to remind them that they are the artist in the school. Mm-hmm. They are the artist in that school.
Now, there's some really exciting things that could happen with this, and that I have seen happen with this, and that by bringing in my student teachers, it kind of gives a new life in some ways to some teachers that might have felt that way at some points, right, and kind of reverted to kind of becoming another elementary school teacher, let's say, within the school. And so they're like, oh, these are, you know, like some great ideas. I'm going to kind of keep this going and try this. So there's something beautiful that can happen in that both the teacher's open to it, in which people are learning from each other, right? You have somebody new coming in and the teacher is open to them experimenting and trying new ideas. And I always try to work with teachers that are a little more open to my student teachers and allowing them to teach and not just do their lessons, right? So I think that's really important. If you have a student teacher, to allow them to really, you know, have their own voice, try some things out, you know, and allow for those moments. And being open to that, you also can kind of learn from that too, and hopefully kind of, you know, get a little bit of rejuvenation as well. And I think that it can be a really beautiful thing if allowed between both teacher and student teacher. So, you know, I've had some good experiences where everyone's kind of learning from each other, and that's important.
And you know, when the cooperating teacher really wants a student teacher versus when they are placed with a student teacher.
Yes.
That those who really want to learn from the student teacher, and because they have so much to give. I mean, let's face it, they are the future of art exposed to really incredible courses that most art teachers in the past have not had. They're doing animation, fabrication, all kinds of new materials and ideas in art school and mm-hmm. art departments. So they have a lot to bring to the art class.
Yeah, and I've had situations where the teacher has really kind of introduced them as, you know, almost a visiting artist, not just a student teacher. And that's this person wonderful. Is coming in from the university and they're, you know, going to bring us some new things. And I think that really... it's a different way to look at student teaching, right? That this is somebody who's had all these new experiences and fresh experiences, and they're going to kind of share that with us. And I think that can be a really positive part of having a student teacher, that they're not just, you know, if you're the kind of person that's open to, you know, the fact that you're not the only one imparting knowledge on them, but they're also bringing things to the table. I think it can be a good relationship.
And it's interesting, and I don't like to be introduced as, this is my supervisor.
Yes.
'Cause that also brings up all kinds of images. You know, here's somebody who is to judge me, who is to supervise what I'm doing.
Well, my teachers say, the student teachers I work with always tell the kids, this is my teacher. And they get very excited by that, because they're like, you have a teacher? You're the teacher and you have a teacher too, you know, so that's always an interesting, we don't really use supervisor as much as they get very excited that I'm their teacher. So yes. Generations of teachers in the room.
Yes. It has not occurred on a regular basis, but infrequently I have been asked to talk about my own art, to bring my own work to show. Mm-hmm. And as I ask my students always to show and to share their own art development, struggles, ideas with the students. But occasionally I wasn't just a supervisor, I was asked to show my artist and my art.
Yeah. Well, so I also, sitting at the tables with the kids, I think, is really important, and not sitting off to the side. So I often just go around to the different tables and sit with them as they're creating and talk to them, and they love to share their work with you too. So I think, you know, if you're in a situation where you're, you know, walking into a classroom, to see what's going on. It's really the excitement of sitting there. And I love that because they'll tell me, you know, I make art all the time. This was one recently, actually. This was a middle school student. She's like, when I wake up in the morning, I make art. And art makes me feel so much better if I make it every day. And just I wish I could have put that on. Could have taped her because we had a really great conversation about making art, and she was, I think, in sixth or seventh grade. But yeah,
very important to sit at the table, as you say.
Yeah,
instead of sitting in the back with a pad.
Yes,
you know, taking notes on this, not being involved in what's happening, but you're taking notes on it.
Yeah.
And because you can tell the mood, the flavor of the class and what's happening by being at the table and listening to the children's comments, and they're very open about it.
Very open.
Their
very
evaluation open. Is probably
strong,
better than
yes.
my evaluation could be of the class.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish sometimes the teachers could hear what the children are saying.
Well, exactly. And you see, like, I mean, there are teachers who will sit with the students, and there are teachers who don't leave their desks. And I think sitting with the students really changes things, because you do have that one-on-one time and discussion time that's really different. So I'm always, for my student teachers, always encouraging them to sit with the students and really spend time with the individual tables, which I think is important. So, you know, again, 14 pages of evaluation now from the College of Ed. So 14, when I first started, 15 years ago, maybe it was like two. So, you know, it is that relationship between, you know, the stuff you have to do for them, and it starts, you know, all of that stuff weighs on you for sure. But, you know, if you can put it aside for a second, because a lot of it is kind of ridiculous, and say, okay, you know, let me just sit here with the kids and hear what they have to say. It's
the golden age of when I spend time with you and your sister and brother, and is when you invited me to come into your room, come into my studio,
yes.
sit on the floor. Let's look around together of what we can do and what we can materials we can find in the house. That is perhaps the best model for coming into an art class. You know,
mm-hmm.
get to be with on the floor with the kids, to play with them.
Yes.
And to listen to them, and to model good art teaching yourself while you're there.
That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
So, because good art teaching is not sitting back and filling out your 14 pages. Good art teaching is really, you know, sitting at the tables and engaging, and you know, not sitting at your desk.
Yes.
So I think that, yeah, modeling that is important.
Any art teacher, may I say, and you can shut me off.
It won't be his first time.
any art teacher who sits at their desks, and I've seen art teachers knitting at their desks and, you know, marking papers, and should be asked to leave the profession. I mean, that's how I feel. That's how strongly I feel about it. Also, somebody who sits on the side with these charts and notes,
yes,
from colleges of education, and neglects and misses the experience of actually playing with kids and modeling, being an artist, a teacher in that room.
Yes.
Missing that experience also should be asked to, you know, cut the cord. So, you know, this is not the way to come into an art room. And we need to, as supervisors, and I hate that word again, come into the art room as colleagues to the artists in the class, and
mm-hmm.
there are 30 of them.
Yes.
And colleagues to the art teacher, colleagues to the younger art teacher in that class.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So it's lots of relationships to be built and modeled,
mm-hmm.
and it can be a beautiful experience.
It can be. It really can be. And I will say the one thing I've done is kind of build that experience with a group of teachers now that have been working with me for a long time. And that's really helped. I was just thinking about one, as you were saying, never sit at your desk. One of the teachers came in. I talked to her the other day for an art show thing, and her back was her back was completely out. And I was thinking, I said to her, I said, I've never actually seen you sit down, like, at your desk or otherwise. Like, she's constantly moving around. She's constantly really engaged with the students. Of course, her back went out. But I know. But, yeah, I mean, just her energy is just so outstanding. And I think that, you know, says a lot, you know, that she's just so overly engaged with what's going on, so.
And in the aftermath, the afterglow of what happened in conferencing, if you want to call it, never to really just talk to the teacher without the student there, or talk to the student without the teacher being there.
Yeah.
There are the incredible misunderstandings and missed learning and sharing opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
When you you have these private conversations.
Yeah. And hard to do sometimes. Hard to get all three of us in the room together. I mean, there's a lot of definitely can be issues with that, but I think, yeah, being very open and upfront with everything is important, and everything in life for sure, but this is one of those moments.
Yeah, there can be a lot of misunderstandings. Dr. Sekeli wants me to teach this way.
Yes.
You want me to teach that way. I mean, how is that going to be not resolved, but discussed, if not openly, before... as three professionals and three creative people, three artists. Mm-hmm. So we need to stick together in that sense.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, remembering that this is somebody's classroom, you're going in, it's like walking into somebody's home. And I think that's where things get tricky within all of this. There's a lot of concessions I feel like I definitely give. Like, okay, it's fine, it's your classroom. And I think that's important because it is their home, and you are walking in and you're expecting them to take this person into their home, right? Which is a big thing, you know, if you've ever, you know, welcomed somebody into your home, right, for an entire semester or half a semester, that's a big deal. So there is that important give and take that happens. But I'm also, you know, this is a learning process for that student. So to say, you know, this is, they have a few lessons that they need to teach. And for those lessons, you know, it's important that they teach the way that they feel comfortable and what they want to do, not my way, but the way that they feel comfortable. And would it be okay for those lessons if they design them the way that they want to design them, and of course run them by you and things like that, because you're the teacher, you know, you're the main teacher in this room. But it's kind of allowing them that time to experiment with you supporting them, right? And I think that's really important, that they're there for that support, but it allows them to kind of experiment with, you know, 30 students and see if how things are working or not working, so, and have somebody else there to reflect with, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's being a good guest at a party and
right.
Being good. But, and not having this hierarchy that you're coming in, you know, as the professor. Because no matter what, you know, when it's called observation, you are compared to, or you have the same tension as in the role of the teacher and student, as when the principal comes in to observe.
Oh, for sure.
And those are never good experiences.
No.
those are horrible times that you have to go through. Unfortunately, I had to go through it myself, and it was a good lesson for me.
Mm-hmm.
That coming into that room as a creative contributor,
yes,
as a good guest, even bringing surprises and prizes and gifts and
yes,
in many ways, is far more effective than coming in there as the principal.
Yeah.
Even the way you dress when you're coming in for observations, you know, Here is the leisurely, well-dressed professor coming in, who will not get on the floor with the kids. It's very important to think even about the small things when you come into that room.
No, absolutely. I mean, you're coming to that room and you have to realize that the people in that room are very nervous. I mean, my students generally walk up to me right away, and the first thing they say is, "I'm very nervous. I'm just so nervous," you know? And they're nervous because I'm observing them. So that's a lot, you know? They're coming to me at the same time. They're worried about what I'm going to say and what's happening. They're worried about the teacher. They're worried about how the kids are going to act ultimately, right? There's a lot of, like, worries in the air. So to kind of, calming the situation down, and I'm always like, why? It's just me. It's fine. It's going to be okay. And I sit with the kids right away, and I'm and very engaged in what's going on, and I try to kind of help them to work through that a little bit. But it's like a principal coming in the room, and the nice thing is they've gone through a lot of observations with people who aren't art people, and I think that contributes to some of those worries, to be honest. When I come in, I think it's a little bit different because I do know that I kind of have an understanding of the art part of it. There was like, the kids were too loud. I said, no, the kids were actually working really nicely, and there was a good, everything was fine. But I think that they're so used to a different perspective coming from education people and having been observed many, many times from people who are not art people. I do understand that, right? Somebody comes in and the things they're looking for are different than what I would be looking for. So I think that's important to kind of understand.
And I think the good art teacher, of course, is well-versed in creating a warm atmosphere, a compliment and supportive person. And that part of you needs to be present when you're coming into a class. The other part of it is I love to have, and the kids are great, they love to play teacher, children. Mm-hmm. They love to take on teacher roles in a class. Mm-hmm. And when we have adults, our future teachers in our class, they need to already take on teacher roles at the college, at the art school. To practice and try out lessons and do many things that they may not be able to do or may be able to do when they go into the public schools. So this trying out and experimenting with teaching needs to be part of teacher training constantly, just at the end.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have over 200 hours that students are spending in the school, so already there, they're spending a lot of time there, plus in classrooms, they're doing a lot of, I know in my classes, they're doing a lot of practice lessons and things like that.
But how many times, actually, does a student in an art education class get to teach in that art education class, and why not? There's so much that they can contribute. The same way I consider my young elementary students as colleagues. Mm-hmm. And they come in preparing lessons, which are really the most fun lessons for other kids. There's no reason why more of the teaching. Why are we so reluctant to give over that reign of teaching to our students in art education? I think it would be extremely, and I know in my class it's one of the highlights, when they have something to show and want to actually take over parts of the class. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's a wonderful idea. Okay, well, we are going to wrap things up here. I will not shut you off.
Shut off.
I know. No. It's a natural time for us to go. Okay. I know you're going to have some PTSD from being shut off, but it's all good. And just some things to think about. I hope everyone thinks about having student teachers. If you're not a student teacher yourself, it can be a wonderful experience. And just something to think about for the future. So thank you so much for having this discussion. It was a nice reflection on the conversation you had last night. So have a good week, and hope you get a chance to make a lot of art this week and play.